You're listening to a podcast from 702.
To London now we go. Always look forward to speaking to Adam Gilchrist on The Worldview, getting a sense of how the world looks from London. A very good morning to you, Adam. A happy Monday. Sanctions against Iran. Now, the US moves, they're really beginning with a strong reaction from the Iranians. Death to America, they say.
Yeah, it was all that stuff, wasn't it? Burning of the flags very publicly in Tehran and so forth. And you kind of wonder if some of this is kind of orchestrated by the administration in Tehran, because they're certainly none too pleased about the sanctions. Donald Trump has suggested that they're not in a very good place, Iran, and that therefore these will really make a difference. We've had sanctions before. In fact, technically speaking, there are indeed sanctions right now from quite a lot of countries against Iran, certain business deals they just would not do. But these are thought to be amongst the toughest, 700 organizations and individuals and others being targeted by these particular sanctions. Also, given that they're saying that they want to see oil imports massively reduced from all countries who import from Iran, there are 8 countries currently on America's hit list, as it were, who are importing Iranian oil, who have reduced their stocks, apparently, but haven't hit 0%, and have been excused for the time being, which is very kind of America, isn't it? But given that the whole nuclear deal, the, you know, if you're good, then we'll do some trade with you kind of deal, is still supported by most of the European Union, France, the UK, Germany in particular, plus Russia and China and others, there may well be some firms, countries, some large businesses who continue to trade with Iran in a way that America doesn't want. So will America then impose sanctions, as they said they might, against our firms? At which point, that really takes the cork out of the bottle, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's an issue we're having with one of our biggest mobile operators doing great business in Iran. We'll see how that unfolds. Now, this is a very worrying one. A Christian woman has been jailed in Pakistan under, of course, their blasphemy laws, and she's begging for asylum.
Yeah, we were only talking last week about blasphemy laws in Ireland and how it felt anarchic and they've got rid of it as a part of the constitution. It's no longer against the law, but some countries perhaps move a little bit more slowly than that. So in Pakistan, this woman, Asia Bibi, has been on death row for 8 years for blasphemy charges. There was a row about using a cup of water. She's of the Christian faith. The people she was with are the Muslim faith. There were some glib comments in both directions, I believe. Some prejudice ensued, and lo and behold, she got banged up in prison, accused of blasphemy, found guilty of blasphemy. Now, the Supreme Court has overturned her conviction, saying, frankly, there was flimsy evidence. But she and her husband fear for their lives now, that's what they say, and they're looking for asylum in the UK, the US, or Canada, although I think France and Spain have also offered some sanctuary. Their lawyer has already fled Pakistan, saying he fears for his life. And in the last, 30 years or so, 65 people have been killed in Pakistan over claims of blasphemy. There's a local custom, a local law that you really would need to know before you went anywhere near.
Yeah, I mean, that's an absolutely worrying one. Right, now to something entirely different. A French colony says oui. New Caledonia says they'll stay a French colony. Merci beaucoup.
Yes, well, my worldview question, yes. Has any other country ever decided they want to keep being, want to stay being a colony?
We'll give you R1,000, Adam.
Is there an answer? I wonder. I mean... Think about most colonies, they're sort of anxious to get independent, and most imperial rulers are kind of under pressure from others to stop it. But here we have a colony out there in the Pacific. It's New Caledonia. It's about 1,400 kilometres off the coast of Australia. It's a blooming long way from France. And yet in their referendum, 56% of people have voted to stay as a French colony. I suppose we should bear in mind that they have a lot of nickel to mine, but also New Caledonia is a relatively small population, 250,000 people or so. They receive $1 billion in French aid every year. Could it be, therefore, that when it came to this referendum, money talks, especially if it's got a French accent?
Yes, indeed. Oui. Listen, it's a big motivator. Adam Gilchrist there on the line from the UK with this morning's Worldview. Now, every day, as he alluded to, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we ask you to send us a question on any world topic you might want to know more about. And today's question came from a tweet sent by Mohammed Karolia, who wanted to know, why is a sandwich called a sandwich? Hashtag Emirates Worldview. To get to the answer, we spoke to Chef Lisego Semenya.
The term sandwich is actually named after a person, John Montague IV. He was the Earl of Sandwich. Sandwich is a town in the county of Kent in England. John Montague was known to be a gambler with an addiction to gambling. And during one of his 24-hour binges of gambling, he didn't want to make the cards dirty and sticky by eating sticky food. So he shouted to one of the waiters, "Bring me meat that is stuck between two slices of bread." And when the other gamblers saw the dish that was brought to him, they started asking the same and asking the waiters, "Bring me the same as sandwich." Eventually became "Bring me sandwich," and that's where the term comes from. It actually isn't a discovery in England, though. A sandwich is actually from China as a product. The very first sandwich was discovered in 200 BC, and it was called the Rou Jiamo, which means meat between bread.
Or otherwise, as we call it in IsiXhosa, isangwej. All right, congratulations, Mohammed Karolia, for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won 1,000 rand, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates first class and business class to experience a new level of comfort.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072 702 1702 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Alex, glad I caught you. Listen, I have big news. You got the promotion.
Sarah, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. You deserve it. It does involve a lot of traveling, but don't worry. The office is incredible. Fully reclining seat, Wi-Fi, built-in bar.
That's amazing. Where is it?
On board Emirates Business Class, the best office in the sky.
With flatbed seats and a host of features, Emirates Business Class is so much more than just business. Fly Emirates. Experience a new level of comfort.